this is my heaven to me. Oh, yes, this is my heaven to me. This is my heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. One more time. This is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. We find many people who can't understand. We are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. Oh yes, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven. Get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. But I'm filled with the Spirit, there's not a doubt. That's what's the matter with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. We've heard the sweet music, the heavenly chord, glory land over the sea. A soul thrilling message from Jesus our Lord. This is like heaven to me.
Oh, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Can you really say tonight this is like heaven to you? All the times we have when we gather here, it's just a little taste of heaven on earth, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? It's so privileged once again that the Lord has let us come back into His sanctuary to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Certainly had a good time here over the weekend. The Lord was just wonderful, ministered to us from the word of the Lord, Brother Dale Smith. And I know you were blessed, you lifted up. And well, tonight's another night. I believe God's going to give us something again tonight, don't you? So why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Play a little bit more of that, brothers and sisters, if you will. Oh, go ahead and fellowship a little bit. This is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. We've heard the sweet music, heavenly call, glory land over the sea. So thrilling message from Jesus our Lord. This is like heaven to me. Oh, now this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. One more time. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you don't care to, well, I'm going to let you sit down. We've got several requests tonight. I'll let you sit down and rest just for a few minutes. Sister Lana Jones wants us to pray for Tyrza Roncalli. She just got over a stomach virus and now has strep throat. So we want to pray for that child tonight, that the Lord would just touch her. I want to pray for Brother Larry Miller and his family. His mother passed away this morning. So let's pray for that family as they go through this time of their life. I want to pray for Brother and Sister Hall, both having chest pains. Brother Vega sends that in. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Lisa Riddleball, a lot of pain in her feet, diabetes symptoms. So let's just pray that the Lord would touch her tonight as we pray. We'll remember Don and Sarah Barriman in prayer. Sarah is having tests on some heart concerns, so they're asking that we would remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Lillian needs healing. Want us to pray tonight. She has double bronchitis and a sinus infection, so they're asking that we would remember that request tonight. Want to pray for the family of Kim Horniak. She passed away today, so let's remember the Horniaks as they go through this time, that the Lord would just be mindful of all of those folks, and God would help them. I want to pray for George Hicks, who is having blood issues. Brother Sam Clark sends that in. Let's pray for that need tonight. A special prayer request for Brother Bruce Goodson from Japan. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer. Brother Byron Palmer not feeling well tonight. Request prayer for himself. Ask us to pray for him. I want to pray for Ben Davis. He injured his knee and is scheduled for an MRI. So let's pray for Brother Ben, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Al wants us from New York, wants us to remember him in prayer. Been having difficulty swallowing food, choking problems. Let's just pray that the Lord would help our brother. Sister McGee from Illinois requested prayer for a little girl a few weeks back that had been kicked in the head by a horse and fractured her skull in three places. She is well now, and the family wants to give thanks to God for his mercy and healing power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Linda Collins, who lost part of her index finger. She shut a car door on her finger and damaged the bone. So let's pray for that need tonight. Brother Keith Phillips sends this in. I have a dear friend that has a little boy who is 4. He has Down syndrome and went into the hospital for a routine surgery to have his tonsils removed. Before the surgery, he ended up with pneumonia and they couldn't do the surgery. They have since moved him to the intensive care unit and found out that he has an underlying lung disorder and sometimes occurs in children with Down's syndrome. He is not doing well at all, so I'm writing to ask that you would put him on your prayer list at church and pass the word along. He needs all the prayers that he can get along with his family. His name is Ethan Hilton. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Joel Vickery from Kentucky. Has needs in his body. Let's pray for him tonight. Brother Barry English, we'll remember him in prayer. He's in pain from hernia and gallbladder surgery, so let's remember him tonight. Brother and Sister Max will send this in to please pray for Johnny Rigsby. He fell and broke his elbow in a compound fracture. It was a very serious break, and he was moved to another hospital 1.5 hours away for the surgery. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Also, they want us to remember Sister Meredith's professor. They're checking him for lymphoma cancer. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Curtis sends us in to please pray for Carolyn Hartley. She asked for prayer for breathing. She has breathing problems. Brother Curtis sends that in. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Tamika Brown says to please pray for Sister Cassandra Wilkinson. She has an aggressive form of breast cancer. Her surgery is scheduled for tomorrow. She is trusting for her healing before the surgeon touches her and is asking that we believe with her and join her in her faith that all will be well. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord tonight. Certainly want to continue to remember the Buchanan family in prayer. Brother Harold's memorial service will be at 7 o'clock on Friday evening over in Hickory, North Carolina. And I did put Sister Shirley's address on the bulletin board out in the lobby. If you'd care to send her a card, I'm certain that she would she would like that and would appreciate it very much. So we've got just a lot to ask the Lord about tonight, don't we? But we know one thing. He's God. We're His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Give Jesus another good hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. Let's stand. Oh, now this like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. Brother David, come tonight if you would. Invite the presence of our Lord into this service and pray over these requests. Let's join our brother in prayer. God bless you.
Just by our hearts, if you would. Lord, so many requests has been turned in this evening. No doubt, Lord, they're tremendous in the eyes of us as humans. But Lord, they're so small in your eyes tonight. So we ask, Lord, that you would meet each one, Lord. So many requests that's been given. Lord, we see that the devil's been at work, Lord. The enemy's doing his job. Lord, we know that as children of God, we have a right to come, Lord, and claim some of our redemptive blessings. Lord, we come to claim healing and deliverance. And Lord, even those that lost loved one, Lord, you promised in your word that you'd be a comforter. So Lord, we come to claim what is rightfully ours tonight, Lord. Help us, I ask, Lord, to be able to stand, Lord, as a congregation of a body of believers and believe for each one, Lord, and take it upon our heart, Lord, as we ask now sincerely, Lord, may you meet each one. Those that's facing surgery, we pray, oh God, may Jehovah Jireh come on the scene. Lord, we just look to you, Lord, now and ask that you would just touch them, Father. May your will be done, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming the services, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. There's going to be a meeting in the air. How many of you want to be part of that meeting in the air? How many of you plan on being part of it? Somebody say, I'm going. Somebody say, go with me. Somebody say, let's all go together. Now give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I'm going to meet you over there. In that hole beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. To be glorious, Lord, I do declare. In God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at the meeting in the air. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sleep. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, and of Jonah and the whale we often see. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will.
surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that hole beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. You'll be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's old son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Many things will be there missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinners have refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights needing prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you over there, that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a promise we've got, church. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus before we change the order of the service tonight. Have a couple of specials. Brother David McGarra is here with us tonight from visiting from Arkansas, a friend of Brother David's. They look enough alike to be brothers. Well, they are brothers in the Lord, I'm sure. But he's gonna come and get us a song ready. If you want to be getting your guitar, Sister Tamika, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. You'll sing first, if you will. Then Brother David will sing for us. But let's just sing a little chorus tonight. The greatest thing that I can think of in my whole life tonight at this present moment is how great our God is. What He has done for you and for me is beyond words. Because He done something for me that nobody else could. How about you? Nobody else could do for you what He's done for you. Let's sing that chorus tonight. How great thou art. Just before we have our specials tonight. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. Could you lift your hands to Him? It sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great Savior God. precious you are. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Jehovah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Blessed be your precious name, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Then sings my soul. Oh, sing it to him, church. To thee. How great. Oh, how great you are, Lord. Yes, how great thou art. More hand clap of praise tonight. Tamika, God bless you. You may be seated, Sister Tamika. God bless you tonight.
For you, but I fall. Sometimes it seems so close and yet so far. Oh, I need another chance. I need to know your mercy. Please give me the strength to change within. I know that I'm not all that I should be. My weakness seems to get the best of me. But as long as you are near, I know that I will make it. Every step along the way, please hear my prayer. Heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong with it. Please hear me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. Faults and many failures that I see, they make me wonder why you thought of me. Lord, you look beyond this flesh. You ignored my human frailty, for you knew that all along I was your seed. My desire is to give my all to you. Lord, let me shed your light in all I do. your grace and tender mercy, for they make me only long to be more like you. A heart like yours, that's my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion and nothing wrong with it. Please hear me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. So much grace, so much kindness.
I tried and tried to think of some good deed that I had done that would give to me the right to claim a kinship to God's Son. Could it have been because I tried in every way to please? Could it have been because I've spent some time down on my knees? Could it have been because my heart was often touched with pain? Could it have been because I've often witnessed in His name? Or could it be that in the past some precious soul I've won? I searched my heart and realized it's nothing I had done. The love of God defies all understanding of the mind. He chose to walk up Calvary's hill and die for all mankind. Those ugly scars He bore for me while hanging on a tree was the price of my redemption, and He did it all for me. I hope I've been a trusted friend to someone on life's road. shared a simple cup of water with a tired and thirsty soul. I tried to be to those I meet as gentle as a dove, but I've never done a single deed that's worthy of His love. The love of God defies all understanding of the mind. He chose to walk up Calvary's hill and die for all mankind. Those ugly scars He bore for me while hanging on a tree was the price of my redemption, and He did it all for me. It was the price of my redemption, and He did it all for me.
Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate our songs tonight, don't we? Brother David, God bless you. Sister Tamika, both of them were real, real good. Let's stand tonight. Brother Darrell Ward's going to come tonight and speak for you. I believe he's got something that you're going to be interested in looking at tonight. He's counting on you being interested anyway. I think you will. We appreciate our ministry here at this assembly, don't we? We're not the only pebble on the beach, but aren't you glad you're one of them? We've got some tremendous ministries that operate under the canopy of Brother Donnie Reagan's ministry. And brothers, I just want to say as a congregation to all of you, we appreciate you. Let's give our ministry a nice hand tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing the chorus. He's got it all in control. Let's sing that tonight just before we turn the service to Brother Darrell Ward. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Love you, buddy. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
I'm so glad He does.
Amen.
Where in the world would we be if we was in control?
Amen.
Lost. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. My name's Brother Darrell Ward. I go to Happy Valley Church of Jesus. Amen. It's good to be home. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Isaiah. We want to read from Isaiah chapter 62. Just a couple of verses, verse 11 and 12. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, buddy. We're going to be real brief tonight, just a few minutes of looking at some word, and then we want to take this thought and we're going to spring off of that and look at some things that we've put together to kind of update you a little bit and share with you some things, the meetings that we just had over in Nicaragua with Brother David Seiler and Brother Danny Torres interpreting, and we put some things together from that, and then we got an update from Haiti, show you kind of what's going on over there with the church that we've been, trying to raise the money to build, you know, that was destroyed in the earthquake. And so we got an update on that. And then we want to look at San Carlos Apache Reservation out in San Carlos, Arizona. Me and Brother David Swanson, there he is, and Brother James Gold and his boy James Levi, somebody. his boy. We went out there and spent a week and tried to remodel the church for him and build a study for Brother Kevin Casador, that he would have a place. The first time I ever went out there and ministered, had to stand in the parking lot and study off the back of a car until it was time to go in to preach. So we was able to build him a little study that he could sit in and then go right straight to the platform. So we want to look at that tonight. So, but we want to take just a few minutes and look at the Word and just be real brief. I told the brothers about 10 minutes and blow a horn or something, because we don't want to keep you all night looking at these other things. So just going to try to be just as quick as we can. But just take a few minutes and look at the Word of God this evening. So if you have your Bibles now, it's Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11 and 12. Praise the Lord. Certainly good to be a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says this: Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, which that'd be kind of be where we're at now. Amen. Amen. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you on the sought out and the seeker. The sought out and the seeker. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. Heavens and earth will pass away, yet your word shall never fail. Then Lord, we're not resting tonight, dear God, upon some man's ideal. We're not resting tonight upon an organization or denominational view. We're not even resting upon our own opinion tonight, because we don't have one. But we're resting upon the unfailing word of God tonight, knowing, Lord, that it is the truth, Father. Lord, whether we feel it or whether we don't feel it has nothing to do with it, Lord. We know that we're healed because the word says so. We know that we're saved because the word says so. We know that we are the elect because the word says so. Amen. It's what the word says, Lord. Every man's word be a lie, but let my word be true, saith the Lord tonight. Father, we're just so grateful for that now, Lord. And I pray that you'll come, Lord, for just these few minutes and catch this thought and break it to the hearts of your children, we pray. Heal our sick that are among us, those that are discouraged. May they be encouraged tonight, Lord. Those that desire to be here and couldn't be here, Lord, may you bless them tonight, dear God. We pray, Lord, for Brother Donnie as they're out in Arizona resting a few days. Lord, may you give him rest for his labor, Lord. Bring him back revived and renewed and on fire once again, Lord, we pray. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the bride says,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, listen to this quote right here tonight. Brother Ben says, Jesus had faith. Now, how many believe Jesus had faith?
Amen.
Amen. Then what did he have faith in? If Jesus had faith, what did he have faith in? Well, Brother Branham answers the question for us. He said, Jesus had faith. Faith in what? He had faith in what the Word said he was. God's Son, see? He had faith in what the Word said he was. Not what his emotions said, not what his sensation said, not what his mama said, not what his brother said, but hallelujah, he had faith in what the Word said that he was. Now, the only thing you have to do is have faith. Faith in what? Faith in what the Word says you are. Now, the only thing you have to do is have faith in what the Word says you are. Have faith in what the Word says you are. Hallelujah. Then if we're to have faith tonight, faith must be based upon something. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? Then if we're to have faith tonight, we must have faith in who we are. Then if we're to have faith in the Word, then there's something in this Bible that must speak about me. You say, I can see David, I can see Moses, I can see Brother Branham, I can see Elijah, but you must see yourself in the Word. How many's got eternal life? Well, what do you have? What is eternal life? I've got eternal life. Well, what is that? There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And God is His Word, amen. Then if you've got eternal life, you're a part of the Word. Then the Word, this Word, it speaks about me. It does no good to read it like a newspaper.
It must become personal to you. What is the new birth? Christ has been revealed to you personally. Amen. You must believe that what is in here is speaking of you. That's your identity. Everything you are, everything that you ever will be, must be in here. Huh? You know, Sam Walton died a few years ago, right? Owner of Walmart. Made his children some of the richest people in the world. You know why I didn't go to the reading of the will? Wasn't because he didn't have enough money. We all could have went. Everybody here could have went. He could have gave us all something and still had money. It wasn't because he didn't have enough money to give us. I didn't go to the reading of the will because nothing in that writing pertained to me. Hallelujah. But why am I here tonight? Because there's something in the reading of this will. Hallelujah. There's something in the reading of this will that pertains to me. Then the only thing you have to do is have faith. Well, that's good. It sure is. If you'll take it into your heart. Huh? Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed. I didn't say this. Brother Branham didn't say this. Some other preacher didn't say this. God said it. God hath spoke way down here to the end time. God is still speaking. Say it to the daughter of Zion. That'd be us. The bride, is that right? Is he talking about you? Hold your hand up so the devil know who to pick on. Huh? Say unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them. Whether it's 2, 3, or 4, 5, believe that. Well, I would raise my hand, but you know. Huh? What's wrong with getting involved in the service? You drove all the way up here. You brushed your teeth. I hope you did. You come on. Why don't get involved? Amen. They shall call them the holy people. Well, what in the world makes me holy? Not this. But it's him that dwells in me. They shall call them the holy people because there's a holy God in them. The redeemed of the Lord. Anybody here like that? The redeemed of the Lord. And thou shall be called, sought out. A city not forsaken. They call a Kentucky a wildcat. They call a Tennessee a volunteer. They call an Arkansas. What do they call you guys? Razorbacks. Oklahoma, they call them Okies. Everybody's got an identity, but our identity. I'm not a wildcat. I'm not a volunteer. I am the sought out. That's my characteristic. That's who I am. A city, they shall call them a city. Not forsaken. A not forsaken city. You know, the Lord allows me to go a few places. I thank God for every place he's allowed me to go. I've been in Phoenix, Arizona. I've been in Tucson. I've been in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been in Indianapolis, Indiana. I've been in, yeah, I've been there too. New York City. I've been to all these different cities. And every city I go to has red lights that are red. Have pavement that's broke up in potholes. Have windows and have buildings. Have neon signs. Every city I go to has pavement and red lights. And buildings and glasses. But every city I go to is different. What makes it different? They got the same pavement, got the same potholes, got the same red lights. But what makes the city different is the people that live in it. For the city takes the character of the people that live within it. And this city is a city not forsaken, because that's the character of the people that live within that city. Well, I have a lot of trouble. We may have a lot of trouble, but we got a lot of God. And he said he would never forsake us. They shall be called the sought out. You know what that word sought out? That word salt means to seek with care. To care for. They shall call them the people who are cared for. My God, or make the Pope shout. They shall be called the cared for people. Who you reckon cares for us? To seek with care. To care for. They shall be called the people who are cared for. You know, the prophet said the seven stars in his right hand were the seven messengers. And he said they were safe in his care. For nothing could pluck them out of his hand. Notice where they were at. They wasn't in his pocket. They wasn't in his front pocket. Wasn't in his back pocket. You know, I'm at that age, I lose things in my pocket. Don't laugh at me, you lose your glasses on your head. You know what I'm saying? You come out of Walmart and you know your keys are in your right pocket. And so you come down to the car and you get to the car and you set all the groceries down and reach in your right pocket. Guess where they're at? In the left pocket. So you have to put everything down. So the next time you come, you remember they was in the left pocket. So you put everything down. You stick, guess where they're at? They're in the right pocket. But notice God, Brother Charlie, don't put us in his pocket where he might misplace us among the keys. But hallelujah. But the Bible said they were in his right hand. Where he is always conscious that they're there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful to be one of those messengers that was in his right hand? Wouldn't that be something? Well, let me finish the quote. This comfort is not for the seven church age messenger only, but every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and power and receive full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses that messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and his care. Hallelujah. To all members of his body. If that don't stir your soup, spoon ain't in the bowl. Now go with me just for a few minutes. Let's take a mental trip. Let's go way back. Before there was even a star. Before there was even a molecule. When it was just God alone, but actually wasn't even nothing to worship him, so he was just a self-existing one. Amen. And we know the first thing he created was angels. And then he began to unfold himself. And the prophet put it this way, that going out of God, or God unfolded himself, come the Logos, which was the Son of God, or the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos. Now we're seeing God. God, this great mysterious being, is unfolding himself. Amen. Then he said in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. So then we know the first man was a spirit man. made in the image of God who is a spirit. Huh? But in Genesis 2 we find that God said there was no man to till the ground.
Yes. Amen.
Now, but I have many pictures of it in my mind. And I can see Adam standing this way. Him standing like a tree. God had made him out of the dust of the earth. He was as dead as he could be. His toes was like roots sticking into the ground. And God said, let there be. Or God breathed the breath of life into him. And he jumped. And came to himself. He was standing there like a tree. His toes in the ground like roots. And then God. And he jumped. In other words, he was quickened. And came to himself. Adam, the Son of God, made in the image of God. He was the expression or the attribute of God that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. He was that thought expressed on the earth. And Adam's soul shared the fellowship with God that God created the animals. But Adam, sharing the same mind, named them. Adam, the Son of God, made in the image of God. And the prophet said he would come down in the cool of the evening. God would come down. Say, Adam. And Adam would go to church. Didn't stay home and streamed. He. Well, it's good if you have to, you know. It's good to have that if you have to. Amen. So we see, he said, he would come down in the cool of the evening. Said, oh son, have you enjoyed yourself today? Oh yes, Father, it's lovely, it's beautiful. And he said that God would kiss him on the cheek and lay him down to sleep.
Amen.
But one day God came down to fellowship. God came down at church time, but Adam failed to show up for church. Ain't that something? You miss one service, miss God. God came down in the cool of the evening to seek fellowship with Adam, who was the expression of his thought. But when God came down to the garden, Adam wasn't there. And God began to seek out Adam. The prophet said he began. He said the saddest scripture in the Bible was God running up and down the garden saying, Adam, Adam, Adam. Where are you, Adam? Where, Adam? Where are you, Adam? God running. Adam hiding behind bushes. God running up and down the garden saying, Adam, where art thou? Adam, now where art thou? The father seeking out his child.
Amen.
Not the lost child seeking out the father. But it was the seeker seeking the sought out. The seeker was looking for the one who would be called the sought out. Adam could say, I was the one God was looking for in the garden. And you can say, I was the one God was looking for in Laodicea. The seeker looking for the sought out.
Oh, God.
Now God had other thoughts in his mind. Other sons that would have come forth by the spoken word. But when Adam fell, now these attributes, these thoughts come forth in a fallen state. And Matthew 18 says this, 18:12. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? But notice what he's seeking. Not somebody else's sheep. He's looking for his own. He was looking for that one that would make up his 100. Because he had 100 to begin with. You remember, David, we was in Nicaragua that last meeting that night, and I told them young people, I said, be sure. I said, you know, it's time for us to go now. And everywhere we go, you know, you get there a few days, you fellowship, you have fun, you pray with them, cry with them, eat with them, you know. And then it comes time to go. And I said, everywhere I go, I always leave a little piece of my heart. You remember me saying that? And I told them young people, I said, you make sure now that you meet me on that day so I can get my piece of heart back. And I was on the plane and we was coming home. And something just come to me and said, take that up higher. And I saw. That's what God's seeking for. Because without you, that little piece called you, God's heart will never be complete. You would leave the 99 pieces to find that one piece that would make him a complete God. Because without you, God is not complete. Listen, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And I was reading that and I got to thinking, that can't just mean mountains. Because if that was the case, there wouldn't be no use to look for them in the valley because the Bible said mountains. So ain't no use to look for them in Happy Valley because they're in the mountains. I thought, that can't be right. So I got to looking at that word mountains. And you know the expression, say ye to this mountain?
Yes, sir.
Or the expression, Lord, you gave me a mountain this time? This mountain refers to, in Arabic writing, it refers to as a stupendous or an incredible thing, a grandiose act. Yeah. The strength that it would require to move a mountain. That's how he seeks you out. The same ability it would take for you to move a mountain and throw it into the sea. That's the expression. That's what God does. That's how God seeks you out. Oh God. Now, God knowing all things, he knew where Adam was. Just like he knows where you're at. He knew where Adam was all the time, brother. But God was calling to Adam. Adam, where art thou? He was calling from the spoken word. And the spoken word was the drawing power to bring Adam, who was the word. The word was calling to the word, so the word would come back. Oh man, I hate to break this message off. Amen. Amen. He come down looking for that which was lost. The seeker looking out. It's the seeker seeking out. The sought out. We're called the sought out. We're the ones the seeker was looking for. No man can come to me except Jesus draw him first. The very stray from the Garden of Eden instead of the fallen sinner trying to find God. It was God trying to find the fallen sinner. And he has been ever since. People say I just toil and I wrestle seeking God. Oh no, it was God seeking you. You just wouldn't turn loose. No man seeks God. No man has sought God at any time. Man is a coward. He runs from God. But God seeks man. You said, but Brother Dow, I had a desire in my heart. I wanted to, don't you understand that desire, what that desire actually is? It's not you seeking God. That desire you feel is his drawing power. It's God drawing you to himself. The seeker looking to him. Sold out. let me close with this story. I was at Bays Mountain over here. You know where Bays Mountain is over at Keysport. They got those pack of wolves over there. And a few years ago, I was over there, And a ranger come to there, and then Wolf was laying out there in front of the doghouse. It's like, remind me of a lot of people in church, isn't it? You love the Lord. You're happy to be here. You elect. So they just laying out there. So that park ranger come up, and I was watching him. Y'all don't make fun of me now. He come up, he go something like this. He go, "Ow." Then Woods went. He goes, "Ooh!" They started pawing the ground. Their ears perked up. They started jumping up. And I thought, my God, they're having church. Hallelujah. Ain't that the way it is? We come dragging in here and all of a sudden start singing a few songs and God starts calling to us. God starts calling. The next thing, your ears start perking up. And the next thing you know, you're starting to jump and you're starting to shout. Because there's a deep calling to the deep. There was something in his voice that was seeking them out and they had to respond. So after a while, he left. I got to looking around. So I walk up to the fence. And I go, "Ooh." They just laid down. The seeker. Seeking the sought out. Oh, just let me read one more. Let me just read this to you. Amen. Listen, I'm only saying this not to mix up the doctrine, but to straighten it out, that we might get away from this fear and this scare that you don't know who you are. You're not going to be, but you now are the sons of God. See, you always were the sons of God. For God had you in his thinking at the beginning. You have to be. Some part of you, your life that's in you now, had to be with God before there, well, before he even became material on the earth, before there was anything but God, you were one of his attributes. He knows your name. He knows what you would be. He knows the color of your hair. He knows all about you. The only thing you was being a sinner. Then after a while, you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church, picked out this and that, went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being a part of God, you had to be a part of the Word. And when you heard the Word, you know where you came from. You know what was the truth. You were always the seed in you, always. The Word seemed the Word that was in you. And come to it. The sought out, the seeker, seeking, the sought out. God running through the garden saying, "Adam, where art thou?" But now, friends, I say to you, that same God, that same Spirit is now speaking through the fivefold ministry, drawing the people, the Word, seeking out the Word. No man ever sought God. Adam didn't seek God. God came looking for Adam. And God has done it ever since. The seeker. Seeking the sought out. He's just using my lips to speak to you. Look beyond the old brown wrapper. Listen to the voice. Amen. Do you love him? The seeker seeking the sought out. And so with that, let's just stop. I hate to, man. I got some good stuff right back here. Maybe we'll preach another time. But let's just look at this now. The seeker seeking the sought out. You know, Brother Bram said, if God's going to use in this day, he'll use your hands, your eyes, your lips, your feet. He will use you to seek out the sought out if we'll just yield to him. Well, brother, I ain't been called to preach. You don't have to preach to be a seeker.
Just yield to God. Huh? I'll never reach that person you work with. They'll never come and hear me preach. You'll be their minister. Well, brother, you mean I have to take a text? No, just live it. Just live it.
That's it.
Amen. So with that, I want to look at just a few things. The first thing I want to look at, brothers, I want to show some pictures first of Haiti. If you'll just bring that up. Last year in May, I think it was May the 9th through the 16th, as you all know, we traveled to Haiti. And I've not said much about it since. Just been so busy going so many different places. But we've been trying to raise money to build this church in Haiti. Now, you know that Haiti in January the 12th, 2010, suffered a 7.6 magnitude earthquake that left 1.6 million people without homes, killed an estimated over 300,000 people in a 72-second shake or something like that. They estimate between 253, nobody really knows the correct number, but somewhere around 300,000 people died in that earthquake. And so we went down there, and the purpose of going was with Brother Tom Kershane. And Brother Tom had a burden because a sister in his church, her mother, run an orphanage in Haiti. And this girl had come into the message at Brother Tom's church, and she wanted us to go down and witness to her mama because, she wanted her mama to come into the message. And so her mama had been reading some of Brother Branham's books, and I think you remember Sister Jasmine, she came here to the church when she was in just back in the summer. She'd come here for a service or two. So we went down there because she was interested in the message. So we went down there, and our desire was to hook this orphanage up with a message church that we could be able to fund some money into the message church so we'd know that it would get into the hands of the orphanage, because it's just very, very hard to maneuver there in that country. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. And so that was our desire. And we thought that if we could find a church within 3 hours of the orphanage, we'd be blessed. But when we got to the orphanage, we found a message church 1.5 blocks away. So we was real happy there, and we preached at that church a couple of times. If you remember, I showed you a video of all those folks shouting after the service. We just had a real good service there, and man, they just about tore that. What the earthquake didn't tear down, they just about tore the rest of it down. So we just had a real good time there. But then we went 15 minutes on the other side of the orphanage to a brother by the name of Brother Eric. Now, he's got a last name that I can't pronounce because it's French, Creole, and they've just got, I can't pronounce it. But his first name is Brother Eric. He's a wonderful brother, has a real good spirit about him. And they was meeting under a tarp. If your brother showed the pictures, just... This is the meeting that we had there on a Sunday morning. And you can see it's just poles and just a blue tarp. And the benches, you can see the benches are just made out of saw board and cinder blocks. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures right here. And so there's just the saw boards and cinder blocks. And so when we was there, you know, our burden that, then some of these people see, he's turning, this brother right here in the white with the chain on his glasses right here behind this brother in the white shirt right there. He was actually buried alive during the earthquake, and they was able to dig him out. They was having church when the earthquake struck. Now this place here was not the original site of their church. The original church was completely destroyed by the earthquake. So they actually bought this piece of land, and they was meeting under a mango tree, and they'd met under a tree for 6 months, had church for 6 months under a tree. And so then they was able to get this blue tarps. If you look around, there are different pictures. You can see it says USAID. Brother, if you just want to run through those pictures, it has USAID on it, and that's where most of those tarps come from. And so when we was there, we told them, I said, now, I can't promise you anything. I have no authority to speak on behalf of anybody, but I'll just go back to the United States, and I'll tell people what I saw, and maybe by the grace of God, we can do something to help you. So by the grace of God, we was able to do something to help them. And so we was able to raise some money, and we raised just a little bit short of what we needed, but we felt like it was enough that we could maybe get them into a building, because our desire is not to give them a coliseum, but just give them a nice place to worship God better than a blue tarp. And so we was working, and if you remember, the sisters had the garage sale. We raised $10,000. We gave $5,000 to the orphanage, and we gave $5,000 toward the building of this church. And then a couple of other brothers gave some tremendous, very generous donations. And so we was able to come up with enough money, just a little bit short of what we needed, but enough that we thought that we could get the church built. And so we sent the first phase money. We sent it to them, and I got a call just this week that first phase one is now complete, and they're ready to start on phase two. So they've already dug the foundations and poured the foundations. And brothers, if you'll show, that's preaching there that Sunday morning. If you'll show, there's a video. If you'll show it, Brother Eric, and you can just see a little clip. Just keep the volume down because they speak a language hard to understand. But we just get a little clip here of them laying the foundation, pouring the foundation there of the church. So this is going to be the new church. You can see it's kind of, it's not really, maybe if you can knock some of these lights down right here, brothers. But you can see they're laying out the foundation now. And this is some earlier pictures, but they've already got the foundation poured. And so they're going to start up. The last I heard, they've got the four blocks high, and they're ordering the material to start the sides up on the church. So Lord willing, sometime this year, we're looking maybe towards May or June. I know some people's interested in maybe trying to go with us, but we're trying to find a time that we can go would be the most beneficial. It's quite high to fly into the country over there right now, about $800 a ticket. So trying to get it, where we can get it down a little bit and try to get in there and see a lot of it or how it is and get some more pictures. But Lord willing, by the grace of God, we will be able to rebuild the church in Haiti.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The next thing I want to show you is the meeting in Nicaragua. Now, we went to Nicaragua this January, the 9th through the 16th, and I went with Brother David Seiler, my old buddy out of Missouri there, know David since he's a little boy, and we went with Brother Danny Torres. Brother Danny, you here? Where you at? There he is. Brother Danny interpreted for us, and I want you to know right now, I was nice to Brother Danny. I was real easy on Brother Danny, but Brother David about killed the boy. That's just all they are to it. I was just really shocked at how he done it. No, we both worked him pretty hard, but Brother Danny did an excellent job. I was real proud to serve with him. And I had just had the heart cath, you know, I was having all that crazy chest pain. And I just, you know, with the history of my family, and boy, Satan was really riding me hard with it, you know, and trying to keep that pushed off of me. And so we had the heart cath, and it showed no blockage, but it said I had arterial spasms, which was causing the pain. So they gave me some nitroglycerin to take when I have the pain. But they take the nitroglycerin, it blows my head off, so I'd rather have the chest pain. So, but anyway, so I went over there with a sore leg and just 6 days out of that heart cath. And Brother Dave and Brother Danny, they just treated me like a mom. I mean, everywhere, you all right? You okay? Sit down, do that. I mean, they just really took care of me. And I appreciate them looking out for me. I don't know whether Cheryl threatened them or what, but they looked out for me. So we went to, just wait a minute, brothers, on the video, but we went to a place called Skylark over in San Marcos, Nicaragua, for a youth retreat. And there was probably between, 85 and 100, something like that. I'm the poor judge of crowd, but there's a good group of young people there. And we had 10 services. Me and Brother David preached 5 apiece. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. And each service just kept building. And on Wednesday night, we just had a tremendous service there. And, you know, and me and Brother Dave was talking. I said, well, you think the meeting climaxed tonight? And I said, I don't know. I've seen them climax on the first night, have 4 or 5 night meeting, and it climaxed the first night. And then after that, just kind of coast through the rest of the meetings. I said, I hope it didn't, but it sure looked like it may have, because it was just a really outpouring of the Spirit of God. And so we thought, sure, maybe the meeting had climaxed on Wednesday, but we kept preaching Thursday. And then it was Saturday night that the Lord just really, really come down for the young people. And the thing that just moved my heart so much, you know, because Brother Ben said women are more sensitive to the Spirit than men. But in this particular meeting that night, it was the men that responded first. And these young men, you know, just come up and just knelt down at the altar and just began to cry out to God. And that just kind of opened up the gates. And so here they come, you know, and we just prayed. And I think Friday night we had a prayer line, and it was Friday night, wasn't it? And just so many went through the prayer line, had people healed of back trouble. Another sister had something in her chest, some kind of growth, and she was healed in that meeting there. So we had just several healings take place and had a prayer line on Friday night. But then Saturday night was just a good outpouring of God's Spirit and the young people coming to the altar. And I'd say, poor judge once again, but anywhere between 55 to 65 young people in the altar at one time just crying out to God. And we prayed for them till we just couldn't hardly stand up and just wore out just trying to pray for them, you know, and try to get to all of them. And Brother David and Brother Danny, he'd done quit interpreting. He started praying and just, you know, we just, everybody just trying to pray for them. And so I was leaving because they just about killed me. And I was just wore out, and I was trying to go to the room, and Brother Danny said, can you pray for one more? And I looked, and it was the sound man of the camp. And he had come down and come around and come to the altar. So we went over and prayed for him, and he gave his heart. This is a guy that works at the camp. You know, he sees all kinds of preaching every week. He sees a different group come in there. But he saw something there that was real, and he wanted it. And so he come and gave his heart to the Lord, and we prayed with him. And so when that got started, then I come back and went back around down through here, and there's some young people back in there, and went back in there and climbing over chairs and praying with them and getting to them. So I made my way out, and when I did, the young man that was working in the sound booth, he kind of motioned for me, and I looked, and he called me over there, and it was the security guard. And he wanted to give his heart to the Lord. So we all, Brother David, and I think Brother Danny, all different one of us prayed for him. And it's the first time I ever led somebody to the Lord with a shotgun wrapped around him, you know.
I better do this one right, I guess. Amen. So it's just a really, really wonderful time in the camp. So if the brothers will, just want to show, just put together some pictures with a little to kind of express what the camp was in Nicaragua this year. So if the brothers will show the picture.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
That's an outward expression.
Finding myself in the midst of you,
beyond
the years
ahead, beyond the
glory, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain,
told you David preached them hard. Amen. The last thing we want to look at is San Carlos, Arizona. San Carlos, Arizona is home of the San Carlos Apache Indians. They were formerly the Chiricahua and different ones, but they put them all on the reservation and they became known as the San Carlos Apaches. San Carlos' most famous Apache, of course, was Geronimo. And Geronimo was actually at San Carlos. He actually jumped San Carlos two or three times and then went out and brought him back, you know, and the story goes with Geronimo and his escapes off of San Carlos. But the thing about San Carlos is that it's the only Indian reservation that we know of, maybe outside of Summit. Brother Biscoe maybe took Brother Branham to up in Canada, but the only one that we know of in the United States that Brother Branham went to and spent time with the Indians. And the thing about San Carlos is the fact that Brother Branham spent time there. And when you go there, you know, it just speaks to your heart. And I want to share a story with you. The first time I went there, this elderly Apache sister wanted to speak to me. So I go over and sit down beside her. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, did you want to speak to me?" And she goes, this is the way she talked. I'm not making fun of her, but just so you can get the mood. This is the way she spoke. She said, "Many years ago,
My sister dreamed the dream. Said an angel came to San Carlos and flew all around the mountains of San Carlos. There was in front of the church a pyramid rock, and the angel came and rested upon the rock. And then she said, it wasn't long after that that the prophet came to San Carlos. Now, Brother Branham, in a meeting, there was two Indians come through the prayer line, and Brother, it was over in Phoenix, Arizona, and Brother Branham promised God that if he would heal those two Indians, he would go to San Carlos and hold meetings. And God healed the two Indians, and Brother Branham kept his word. So Brother Branham actually went to San Carlos twice, perhaps three times, but twice that I know of. And one time, the first time he went was to a little Assembly of God's church, which is still standing today. It's a little rock church. It's still standing there. And that's where the first time Brother Branham went to San Carlos. The second time he went to San Carlos was where we was at this weekend, where Brother Donnie dedicated the church. It's where Brother Kevin Casadora is the pastor. The church belonged to his grandpa. And they invited the prophet back to San Carlos, and he came out there for one evening of services. And there were so many Indians that they couldn't get into the little church because they didn't have room. So they moved the platform on the outside of the church, in front of the church. And the prophet came to the front of the church and prayed for the Indians there. And the whole, of course, there's a house there now, but at that time it was just a field, and all the Indians were sitting on blankets. And so Brother Branham had there, and you can pick it up in the message and different things that Brother Branham talks about. He said it was the greatest healing campaign that he had on the North American continent, was right there among the San Carlos Indians. So the little building was run down, and I was out there preaching. I think it's my second time out there, and it just broke my heart to see them that way in that little building. I just come back and I told Brother Donnie, and I said, you think about there being any way at all that we could help them? I said, I'll go donate my time. And Brother David Swanson, God bless his heart, I tell you, he was the back of this whole thing. If it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have happened. That man labored, I tell you, he worked like three men. He about killed me. We worked 17 hours a day, but we went out there for a week and we donated our labor and just went out there and stayed with them and tried to build them a little place that they could worship. And it came up a storm, knocked out the power one day, couldn't work, and I got food poisoning. I was sick on the dog, and I was laughing at one day was working. Remember, we was on the roof, and I was weaker than water. I was just sitting up on that roof, and they took three pictures of David working and me sitting there, and I thought, I can't believe it. First time I sat down in a week, and they take three pictures. just being silly. So we went there in February. It was interesting. Brother Branham came to San Carlos February the 26th, 1955. It was in February 2010 that me and Brother David went and did the remodeling. And it was February 2012 that Brother Donnie went and dedicated the church. And so I put this little thing together to honor the Apache people and my respect for them. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And we just want to look at that, and then we'll be dismissed. And I've tried to keep my word and be real short. So may the Lord bless you richly. And let's just look at this of San Carlos Apache Reservation.
are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And then oh, we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and see each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Precious people. Amen. Amen. That floor was so uneven and so, it was just terrible, wasn't it, Brother David? And we got this concrete that you mix in buckets, and we was carrying the buckets in there and pouring it out. And then it would run to where it was unlevel and level itself up, and it made that floor just as level as it could be. It was just amazing. So it was just really wonderful to see that, because the floor, we was wondering how in the world the carpet would look terrible. But we was able to find that stuff and just leveled that floor and laid the carpet down. And it's just really got them a nice place to worship. Praise at San Carlos.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The seeker still seeking the sought out.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing that little chorus, "We Are One in the Spirit." Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian?
Amen.
All around the world, friends, God's got people. And to go and see them and be a part of their lives. That we long for that day and that moment in time when there'll be a youth banquet. Won't cost you $145. It's without money or price. And we'll gather there that day. We'll all speak the same language. And we'll all be young. Be a real young people's meeting that day. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Spirit.
We That's the desire of every believer, to be a vessel that you could express your love through, Lord. We look around us, we see so many people are hurting. People don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do, Lord. The young and the old, the rich and the poor. But Lord, many desire to see love. I remember many years ago, a young girl come to the altar and I said, what would you want from my Lord? And she said, I just want somebody to love me. I don't know who my daddy is. My mom ain't got no time for me. And I remember telling her, Lord, sis, I don't know a whole lot, but there's one thing I do know. There is a friend in Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Father, may I be that kind of Christian, Lord, that others can feel your love, Lord, that I could be a ray of light in their darkness, that I could be a kind hand in their time of trouble, a listener, Lord, that they may know, Lord, that you're real, that you live in the hearts of your people. And Lord, may we be that kind of people, Lord, that the seeker can anoint our lips, our hands, our eyes, and our feet. That we, Lord, can go and be used of you to find those that shall be called the sought out. Oh God, grant it, I pray, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, for the things in Haiti. That the believers there, Lord, I remember telling them, that the earthquake may have knocked their building down, but the church is still standing. Oh God. Lord, it just makes our hearts warm to know that they'll have a place to come to, Lord. And the little Apaches there at San Carlos, when the Indians and the buffalo stood in the way of the manifest destiny where America believed it was God's will for them to be from sea to shining sea, and the buffalo and the Indians stood in the way, And Lord, that's why Geronimo responded, because they felt the Indian was useless. And the buffalo, there was no need for them. They had to be moved out of the way so the trains could come through and the West could be opened up. But Geronimo, speaking from his heart, said, I do not think I'm useless, or the one God would not have created me. Oh, Lord God, in this hour when they're trying to do away with the fivefold ministry, but Lord, I do not think I'm useless, or you would not have created me to be an evangelist. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that we was able to give those folks at San Carlos a nice place to worship. Brother David, Lord, worked so hard. He carried the weight of it on his shoulders, Lord. We're grateful for men like that who would leave their families and go, Lord, to make something easier for someone else. Because that's what eternal life is living your life for others. Oh, God, help us, Lord. The meeting in Nicaragua and the lives that were touched, Lord, may they never be the same. Grant it, Lord, we pray. And bless this little assembly, Lord, I pray. As we leave the building tonight, may we take these things in our hearts, Lord. And may we, Lord, be a vessel surrendered to the seeker, that you may seek out those that are called the sought out. Grant it, Lord, we pray. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. You go in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.
One in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit.